Good evening. It is so good to be here with you all. Familiar, friendly, happy faces. Turn in your Word of God, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. I know it says Romans 8, but we're going to start in Romans chapter 7. And there's a reason for that. It kind of helps to set the context. So let's look at Romans 7. And we'll begin at verse 21. Romans 7, 21. A wonderful section. Paul deals with the release of the Christian from under the law, the freedom and liberty. But he goes on beyond that, and he says in verse 21, "So I find it to be a law, that is, I find it to be a principle, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. However, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, your word is true. Sometimes we receive it and receive it with thanksgiving. Sometimes we wonder if it really does apply to us. But it always is true, and it always does apply. And you've given much of your word for our comfort as well as our exhortation. And so we pray tonight, guide our minds and our hearts as we contemplate what we have in Christ Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. You know, when you read verse 1 of Romans 8, you think about, as some Christians do, I wonder if that applies to me. Can I be someone who actually says that I have no condemnation over me? And the sad thing is that it grieves me that many times we speak with Christians who really have no assurance that they really are removed from under the wrath of God. You know, back in 1979 when we were having a house built, I know I wasn't that old then, really, but we did have it built then. And the man that built the house, some of who lived, people who lived in Carlisle will know, our builder, George. And he would often say when people asked him, "Have you ever doubted that God really saved you?" And George Lebo would reply, "Never once." Now, regretfully, that's not the experience of most Christians. Most Christians do struggle with assurance from time to time. And yet God tells us in the Bible, particularly in 1 John, that those that trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins have a valid basis upon which to rest their assurance. God tells us in 1 John 5:13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that listen, that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things so that you may know, that you may have the confidence to know that you have eternal life. That's the positive aspect of our self-examination. And so, based on these words, it is possible, according to the Apostle John, it is possible, based on these words, we can conclude whether or not we know if we are on the King's Highway to the road to the celestial city. Now, that's not to say that the Christian life is not fraught with obstacles and fears and questioning as Pilgrim experienced. We know that's true. But it is possible to realize the freedom and guilt and from guilt and judgment while having the joy of assurance that one is saved. It is a real benefit of the book of 1 John to know whether or not you are a believer. And he writes, often, hereby we do know that we know him if. And so he deals with this self-examination of who I am. Do I measure up? But more importantly, it comes with a desire to encourage us, not to bring us down. So knowing what we are, that is by our introspection and sometimes an imbalanced one, our loving Heavenly Father desires that we know with confidence his promises concerning our salvation. John, in his writing of the prayer of Jesus Christ, makes it quite clear about this reality of eternal life. He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." It is possible. It is possible to know God and to know Jesus Christ. And that's what's given to us in Christ's prayer. Along with other things that he prays for, he prays that we might know God and that God would know us in that intimate way. Know Christ is our desire, and God the Father, and thereby we can be assured of eternal life based upon God's promises and not our feelings. You see, our feelings can change, but God's promises stand true. If you start examining your feelings, you're going to run up against some difficult questions. Because our feelings can vary. Our feelings can be true, they could be not true. But the Word of God stands sure. And so it's the only foundation, basis, the solid basis upon which we would determine where we stand with God and what confidence we have. If you ask the man on the street, "Do you think you're going to heaven?" What do you think he would say? Many of them will say, "Yeah, I guess so. I think so. I mean, I'm an American. I go to church occasionally. I may give some money to the church." But never, unless that person is a Christian, do you hear a Bible verse, a passage of Scripture to support that opinion. But according to John, it is possible to know and be assured that you're going to heaven. And that's what I hope to focus on tonight. I want you, if you're a Christian, to leave here tonight confidently examining yourself and leaving this place with the assurance that God has removed that condemnation from you. The Apostle Paul says that. And he was one who really had a horrible life of persecuting the church and killing Christians. And that's why Jesus said when he saw him on the road to Damascus and dropped him down on his knees, he said, "Why? Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" Why was Saul persecuting the church? It was because he hated Christianity. But God turned him right around And when Paul began to preach and teach and go on his missionary journeys, one of the things we find is that, as we find here in Romans 8 that we just read in the earlier parts of the latter parts of chapter 7, is that this man, who was such a murderer, such an opponent of Christianity, this man says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, if anybody had a reason to doubt their salvation, I would think it would have been the Apostle Paul. But in spite of the life he led, in spite of the sins he says that he still commits, oh, the good that I would I find not, the evil that I would not, that I do. In spite of that, what does he say? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, our assurance is not based upon what we think or feel, or because someone tells us we're saved, nor because of an action we took sometime in our life, nor anything else a church or a pastor or a friend may come up with. If heaven is a God-revealed truth, then it makes sense to know what God says is required to enter into that place. There's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven. But as we know, if they went to heaven, it would be hell for them. Not literally, but they wouldn't enjoy it. They can't stand to be in a church. They can't stand to hear a man preach the word of God. And so for them, it would be hell to be in heaven. But yet they all want to be there. It's amazing. But we as Christians have a sure foundation, a sure basis for our hope. And I trust tonight you will really believe this for yourself, that there is no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus. I doubt that you're here just because you had nothing better to do, or you don't like football, whatever it is. But the reality is, you're here because you want to hear the word of God. And yet there are times in your life, aren't there, when you doubt, am I really a believer? Have I really come to faith in Jesus Christ? And the evil one, as we heard this morning during our Sunday school class, that evil one who continues to throw up these things to you. Yeah, but you know what you did last week. You know what you did 3 years ago. You know how you were supposed to do this and you didn't do it. But God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And so I want you tonight to understand that if you are in Jesus Christ, we're going to look at that in a minute, then you have no fear. That is God's promise. There is no condemnation. Remember that song, "Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne shall," whatever it is. I can't remember all the words. But anyway, the reality is there's nothing that you and I can do anyway. We can't save ourselves. Our trust has got to come from God, right? So, saving faith in Christ alone is the only basis for our assurance. If you want this condemnation to be removed, then you would just simply have to ask yourself, have I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I confessed my sins? Do I continue to confess my sins? And if you do, it is his promise that whoever confesses and forsakes his sins shall find mercy. That's your God. He's not holding over you all these sins of the past. If you've repented of them, they have been wiped away as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. Hard to believe, but it's true for you if you're a Christian, because that's God's word. So trust in the word of God and not in what the world says or what other people say. Trust in what God's word says. Who wrote this passage? Who wrote this word that says There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who wrote that? Well, it was the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? He was the writer, but he wasn't the author. The author was God himself. God gave these words to the Apostle Paul. In chapter 1, he lays it out. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's the longest introduction of any of his books. But as the author, he's writing to the church in Rome, but also he's writing to the churches to whom this letter is circulated. It may go directly to Rome, and then from there circulate around to other churches. But the reality is the truth doesn't change no matter which church it goes to. He could have sent that church to Rome and it could have come to us. Oh, wait a minute, it did. Isn't that what Romans is? Romans is for your consolation, your comfort, your uplifting. To leave and to know with a firm conviction that I am okay with God because God is okay with me. So why is it so important? Well, if you lack assurance, I would certainly think that you would rate Paul's assessment of you highly. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer. He was a persecutor. And you might say, well, how could a murderer and a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ have such confidence, have such assurance that it's all going to go well with him? I ask you, why would you think that? You know better. There is no person who has sinned who is beyond the reach of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter who you come up with, unless the person says I die saying I don't believe, but there's no one who has ever committed a sin that is so grievous, so heinous, that God cannot save them. Can you believe that God forgives you? Now, I know intellectually we assent to that. I mean, we all say, I mean, we're Reformed Baptists and we're Reformed people and we know the 5 points of Calvinism. But do we really believe that God can forgive you? Oh, he does, I know. People say he does, I know. The Bible says he does, I know. But do we really believe that? Because if we do, if we really believe that God forgives the worst of sinners, and we're some pretty bad sinners here, aren't we? If God can do that, then there's no reason why anyone in this room, if you've trusted in Christ, should lack assurance. Satan can bring all kinds of accusations against you. And like Christian, you can say you don't even know the half of it. Right? But the reality is, God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, of whom, Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. So if God can forgive a sinner like Paul, give him assurance, could forgive him for all that he's done, certainly he could forgive you. And it is interesting, though, that the Apostle Paul never says in any of his writings that I've lost my assurance. My assurance has gone weak. I don't understand how I've lost my assurance, even though he knows that he hasn't done everything he ought to do. Take that away from the devil. Don't let him burden your soul with that. If Christ has saved you, if you are united to Christ, if you are in Christ Jesus, don't let the evil one attack your confidence. There's nothing he can do to take away what God has provided. If Jesus invited you to come and sup with him, would he not invite you to come and receive the assurance of your faith? I think he would. Paul tells us a lot about his struggles. There's chapters and verses that talk about the struggles he went through. But listen to what he says. So I find it a principle, what we read. I find it to be a law, a principle, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another principle, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who'll deliver me from this body of death? What's his answer? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. That was his confidence. His confidence didn't rest in his own obedience. His confidence rested in the Word of God and what he knew about the character and person of God and those that would be forgiven. And he didn't say, well, I guess I've kind of blown it now. I'm not saved. No, he knew. Just like every one of you who are a Christian know, he knew that he was still a sinner. Saved by grace, but still a sinner. And his confidence wasn't in his own thinking, his own reasoning. Yes, he examined himself, as we are commanded to do. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. If you're in the faith, there should be no lack of assurance, no lack of confidence, because your promise is from the God who gives assurance. It is as simple as that. Secondly, not only was it written by Paul, who was a man who knew what sin was and knew that God would forgive him, there's a meaning to what the Apostle Paul gives us here in Romans 8:1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He reveals the confidence that he or any sinner saved by grace should have to enter heaven because of what God's word promises. He said in our text that this removal of condemnation is based upon these words: for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the only qualifier. This is the one qualifier for removing that condemnation that sinners like us justly deserve. And so we ask ourselves, am I in Christ? Am I united with him in his life, death, burial, and resurrection? If I am, then the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God promises salvation, and he's faithful to keep his promises. The sole basis for Paul's confidence are these words: for those who are in Christ Jesus. He who gave himself for sinners, who could offer nothing to God to deserve this grace, the Apostle Paul said, I am without condemnation. Now, take a moment to think about yourselves. Can you honestly say that you are guilty of sin and deserving of God's judgment? Except that you've trusted in Christ for your salvation. And that's a big except, but it is true. Have you united yourself with Jesus Christ? If so, the Apostle Paul is saying there is no condemnation to you. In spite of what people may say, in spite of what your own conscience may say, if you're united to Christ and are living for Christ, seeking to serve him, there is no condemnation to you. He doesn't say maybe. He doesn't say possibly there's none. There's absolutely, positively no condemnation to you who are now in Christ Jesus. You know what God said He said, the soul that sins, it shall die. And you knew that. You understood that. You took that in as a lost sinner. And when you heard those words, what happened? Didn't it feel like a giant sledgehammer just hit you in the head? It woke you up, didn't it? That was your experience. That was God working in you to begin that process, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Did the gospel come to you with faith by the Holy Spirit? And did you realize that God had provided a way of salvation for you by offering up His sinless Son in your place? Was it not then that you realized that a just and perfect Savior named Jesus Christ came to save you? Remember the word that came in John 3:16. You all know that? You all have memorized it? Listen to John 3:17 and 18, because it's not as well known. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. What? But in order that the world might be saved through Him. You see, we were already under condemnation. God didn't send His Son to condemn us. God sent His Son to provide the relief, the justification from the condemnation of the law. Verse 18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we're already under condemnation by birth. But God sent His Son to relieve and to remove that condemnation. And so if you trust in that one, Paul says, there's no longer any condemnation to you. What a sense of joy and peace knowing that your sins are forgiven in Christ and that this awful weight of judgment of hanging over you because of your sin has been removed. Can you say, according to what Paul is saying here, that this promise is for me? I know it's easy to say this promise of no condemnation to those who believe in Christ Jesus. I know that we say that, that's true, and well, others probably believe it, but those that struggle with depression or a lack of assurance oftentimes don't take that verse personally for themselves. And it grieves me that there are Christians who go through life constantly questioning whether or not God has saved them, when the Bible is very clear that if you've done this one thing, trusted in Christ Jesus, committed your lives to Him, imperfect as you are, because look at the Apostle Paul, all that condemnation and that judgment has been released. It's been taken away. It's been completely removed as far as the east is from the west. Paul's statement covers all sin, by the way. Every sin. There's some sins that none of us would want to be revealed. Even those sins, those gross sins of youth, those sins have been removed. Because God is a God of grace, and He promises to be faithful. And if you do what you shouldn't do, He'll forgive you. If you're in Christ. So notice that this promise is also immediate. It's not something you have to look forward to, that this condemnation is going to be removed from you. It's something that happens immediately in your life. Doesn't he say that it is now a reality for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and hate their sin and desire to walk pleasing to God? Doesn't he say that therefore there is now no condemnation? If you're here tonight and you have trusted in Christ and you've committed your life to Him and He is your number one Savior, then there is no condemnation right now where you sit. If you were to die tonight, the Lord was to come tonight, there would be no judgment upon you if you are trusting in Christ. What a wonderful thought. We talk a lot about sin and repentance, and we should. And we talk a lot about judgment and hell, and we should. But we need to remember that there are promises given in the Scriptures to those of us who are Christians that ought to just light up our eyes and give us a big smile. There should be nobody with a drooping face, okay? We should be happy. We should be joyful. That condemnation, which is real, that you believe, has been removed. That burden, remember, Christian? Remember that burden on his back? He had to carry that thing around? And when he lost it, when it fell off his back and into the depths of the pit, there was great joy. You've experienced that as a Christian. But there is now, at this present time, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Finally, I trust you've noticed or sensed the confidence that the Apostle Paul has. He is emphatic when he says that there is now no condemnation. In the Greek, that sentence structure is so forceful that it leaves no room for any other possibility. The fact that there is no, there is none, none. There is no condemnation at all to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's that emphatic. There's no other possibility. Why is that so hard to accept by some? Do you not believe it? Has God ever misled you in your Christian walk, in your faith? Has not God done everything for good? Is His word not true? Well, we say, sure it is. Well, then this is His word. There's no condemnation to you if you're in Christ Jesus. None. Zilch. It doesn't exist for a Christian. Paul believed. He believed God, and that was all he needed for his assurance. Why do many who lack assurance not take the promise of Christ at face value when he said, there is now, therefore, no condemnation? Why don't we take him at his word? We must learn as Christians to accept the promises of God revealed in Scripture to all Christians who want the assurance that God intends for a child of God. When you tell your child you love them, do you expect them to come to you and say, well, I'm not sure. I mean, I really don't know. No. Husbands, when you tell your wife you love her, do you expect her to come back and say, well, I'm not really sure? It's an affront, isn't it, to some extent? It's an affront to God that we would question His word, that we would question what He has promised us. He has promised you and me the comfort and the confidence of walking with Him without fear. Perfect love casts out fear. He's promised you that you can live your life as a Christian in spite of the falls that occur now and then. But if your heart is right with God, you can live your Christian life in a positive way. Nothing, the Scriptures say, can separate us, you, me, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul struggled with the desire to do good, but evil was present with him, as we read, yet he never reveals any doubt in God's promises of his salvation. Remember the thousands of martyrs throughout history who've attested to this truth with their lives. Remember those men that have gone to the stake, who've been burned alive, whose heads have been severed, who've been hung? Do you remember those men who put their hands into the fire first for having signed a document that they recanted? Would they have done that, you think, if they were not convinced of this truth? You think they would have given their lives to the sword had they not been convinced that there was no condemnation, that they were now going to face a judgment from God that would be worse than the fire that they went through? So like God's word encourages us, I desire tonight for you to focus on this one truth. If you are in Christ Jesus, God has said through the Apostle Paul, there is now no condemnation to you who are in Him, who are united to Him. So let me conclude by saying this. If you're here tonight and you lack assurance of your salvation, yes, examine yourself in the light of God's Word. But balance it with the truth of God's promises to you. If you find you have committed your life to Christ, then rejoice in the promise of God to all who believe that there's no condemnation to you. And leave with joy and gladness that He has saved you. And you are His. And you will be in eternity with Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to trust your word. We know it's there. We know it's true. We say it is. We say we believe it is. But here's a very clear teaching that we need to grasp hold of, that in spite of our sinful past, in spite of the sins we yet still commit, trusting in you delivers us from your just condemnation. Help us to rejoice in that. Help us to believe that. Help us to live like that, that the world may see that there is something really great about being a Christian. Help us to that end for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.